Hello, I'm Paul Fenton-Smith, and today I'd like to talk about soulmates, and in particular, discovering underlying spiritual lessons together. We often pursue soulmate relationships and friendships to complete lessons begun so that we can progress in life spiritually. Determining the spiritual lessons you have to master this time around can be difficult, as underlying lessons are often concealed at first. This is because if you knew what mountains you had to climb together, you might give up before you started the friendship. Once the bonds of friendship are in place, however, it's more difficult to release the connection, so you're more likely to carry on until you complete the issues and master the lessons. If we pay attention, we can recognize soulmates when they arrive. It's as though we sense that fate is at hand in current circumstances. It's not always like this. Sometimes we sense danger when meeting a soulmate and there's an urge to resist the path. Sometimes you're completely unaware when a soulmate arrives, as I was in the 1980s when I was sharing a house in Sydney's eastern suburbs. A co-tenant moved out and we interviewed 15 people for the spare room. Finally, my fellow tenants decided that they liked Amy. When Amy and I met, I felt a deep sense of dread, but I couldn't determine why. Some part of me knew that if Amy moved into that house, I'd experience deep pain as a result. Amy seemed like a nice girl. She had the appearance of a pixie. She was a petite woman with enough gel in her hair to wallpaper a room. She had a quick mind and a cheeky sense of humour. I asked the other tenants to wait in hope of finding a better co-tenant, and they suggested in return that they liked Amy and I didn't, so perhaps I should pay the rent on the spare room until we found someone I liked. I had absolutely zero spare money at the time, so I reluctantly agreed and Amy moved in, despite my initial misgivings. To my surprise, over the next few years, Amy and I became best friends. We helped each other through relationship breakups and we were last-minute dates for important events. We moved out together and shared two more houses over the years. Around 5 years after we'd met, I'd completely forgotten my initial dread when meeting Amy, as we'd never had an argument, despite both of us having strong opinions about life. I arrived home one summer's afternoon to 5 messages on my answering machine. The first was from Petra, a close friend of Amy, who asked me to call her urgently. The second was from Amy's brother, whose lifeless voice left me with a sinking feeling in the pit of my stomach. The third was from Amy's mother. I didn't finish the third message. I was on the phone immediately. Amy had died in a car accident that afternoon, 2 weeks before her 28th birthday. I was numb with shock. 2 hours later, I was sitting next to Petra on the sofa at Amy's parents' house, trying to make sense of it all. This was the pain I sensed I'd have if Amy moved in with me all those years ago. And over the coming months, as the pain subsided, I knew that despite the deep emotional loss, it was worth knowing Amy and enjoying such a brilliant friendship. We'd been a terrible twosome together, always getting into mischief and laughing until often we fell over laughing. She took to calling me Petal, even when she was pretending to be angry with me. Several months after her death, I took a look into our origins to see where we'd last spent time together. I found that we'd been close friends, both men, in England in the 1890s, sharing investments and cementing a friendship that's lasted several lifetimes. In the first few days after her death, I was grief-stricken, and she came to me in a dream to tell me she was okay and that she was fine. I was alerted during my sleep when I heard a voice say, "Hey Petal, what are you worried about? I'm fine." It was then I realised our friendship would continue and resume again in another lifetime. Had I steadfastly refused to have Amy move in with us in 1983, I'd have missed one of the greatest friendships of my life, or perhaps she'd have turned up somewhere else in an attempt to rekindle our past life connection. The simplest way to identify a soulmate is through your initial feeling upon meeting them. Many people describe us a sense of shock or becoming overwhelmed by emotion, longing, or simply a gut feeling that fate is at hand. Ways to identify underlying spiritual lessons with soulmates, both as friends or partners, include through deep meditation. It's possible in meditation to ask your spirit guides or your higher self, that's the spiritually evolved part of yourself that's already glimpsed the end of your spiritual journey, what those lessons are. These meditations can require several attempts to ensure that you're centered and not simply imagining answers. Another method is by keeping a diary and searching for patterns in the diary entries over the months or years. Or you could consult a clairvoyant who's familiar with identifying underlying spiritual lessons in life circumstances. You could try through ongoing counselling that can sometimes highlight lessons beneath the struggles if you're paying attention. And finally, dreams at night. Dreams at night can provide a viable way to identify underlying spiritual lessons within soulmate relationships. You could record your dreams in a dream diary or even a pad beside the bed, and all you do is spend 5 minutes in the morning writing it down, getting into that habit of telling your conscious mind to remember what's going on in your subconscious mind throughout your sleep at night. It's a powerful method for some people, but this method can take several months to develop and to refine, so be patient. The quickest way is to consult a clairvoyant, but not all psychics are able to answer such profound questions. If you already meditate to contact your guides or your higher self, try this method first. Write down your findings because they may make more sense to you months or years later. Spiritual lessons together might seem simple at first, but embracing the challenges of developing inner strength, maintaining emotional boundaries, or learning to trust yourself and others can take decades for some people to master. We're all learning lessons, and when it comes to spiritual development, try to avoid comparing yourself with others, as we each have different start and finishing points in life.